I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good evening and welcome into the fastest 2 hours in radio at Yahoo Sports Radio as we are inside the Quicken Loans studios right here in Houston, Texas. It is a big weekend of March Madness and a number of compelling matchups tonight that we're going to discuss. We're going to get into some NBA talk and the MVP race. And so up first, our leadoff guest is Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer and the Oklahoma City Thunder pre- and post-game analyst. You can also listen to her on NBA Sirius Radio. And I might add, a very proud mom of her son, TJ Klein, who is playing basketball at the University of Richmond and had a terrific game on Tuesday night in the NIT. Welcome back, Nancy. It's good to have you with us.
Always, always happy to be on your show. You are an amazing woman.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy. And I tell you what, I am so excited to talk some NBA with you. And it certainly is. It's a compelling MVP race. But I want to give you the opportunity to brag on your son, TJ. I mean, I absolutely love watching him play the game of basketball, his versatility. And I tell you what, he has got an absolutely beautiful jump shot.
Well, he had a great sophomore year at the University of Richmond, and we're really just very proud of the Spider Nation, how they've embraced him, and he worked really hard, and it was really, oh my gosh, it was so sad to be there after they lost by two. They were up 18 with about 11 minutes to go, and, you know, sometimes it teaches you must play every position as the first possession until the horn goes off, because, you know, Miami was scrapping and pressing and playing hard and just cutting into the lead. But TJ had 17 points. He had a great tournament. I think, you know, he probably averaged 16 points a game in the tournament. And brighter days ahead for the young man if he continues to work hard.
Well, TJ, I mean, I remember he hit those first two three-pointers, and he really sparked that 13-2 run.
Well, that was part of the game plan, because they knew that the kid from Miami was 7 foot. So the thing was, if he was going to stay on TJ, they were going to try and drag him away from the basket, and TJ was ready to shoot the ball. I will tell you that he was tremendously disappointed that he missed those two threes at the end, towards the end of the game, and he felt like he took a lot of the responsibility on them not advancing. And then you have to try and explain to your kid, you didn't lose the game for your team. You helped put your team in a place where they could win the game.
What is TJ? What's his best asset, Nancy?
He's a great competitor. He's highly motivated, and he deeply cares.
Nancy Lieberman with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, Hall of Famer, and she's the pre- and post-game analyst for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I also wanted to mention, I thought USA Today had a wonderful feature on you and TJ and how he has established, he's creating his own identity. Obviously, he grew up around the game. When did TJ realize just how influential you have been with the game of basketball and a pioneer in the women's game?
You know, that's always been... It hasn't been difficult for us. When you have a parent who has done something and attained some measure of success, you don't know how it's going to affect your child. And especially, you know, with me being his mom. And there's always inherent pressure, and has been throughout his playing career. But I thought he's handled it really well. It was when Michael Jordan got inducted in the Hall of Fame about 4 or 5 years ago that I really think it hit TJ, like, who his mommy is. Because we're walking down the red carpet at the Hall, and Barkley and Bill Russell and MJ and Stockton and all these people are coming up and they're talking and saying hi and they're, you know, interacting, all of us together. And TJ's like, how does Bill Russell know you? how does John Havlicek know you? And I go, honey, we're in this very elite group. And he went the next day by himself to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And he took pictures of, like, all my stuff in the hall. And he goes, Mom, I just didn't get it. I just didn't get it. And I was like, baby, I just want to be your mom. If I can be a Hall of Fame mother, then my life is good.
Ah, that's great. Hey, share the story about working the television broadcast. It was, what, in an NBA playoff game between the Spurs and the Mavericks. And TJ, he was just a little guy at that time. He wandered off into the layup line for the Spurs. I mean...
Well, I got to the arena, and you know, being a mom and a working mom in mm-hmm. the business. So we were down by the court, and I said, honey, I need to go in the back to do some interviews. Just sit here by the court. And so he was sitting there, and I went back to visit with Barkley and Reggie Miller and some of the TNT guys. And in the green room, there's a large TV which has the in-arena feed of what's going on the court. And as I'm looking at Charles, I'm looking over his shoulder, and I'm like, I got to go. I got to go. And he goes, where are you going? I go, I'm about to get fired. And he goes, what's wrong? I'm like, Charles, TJ's in layup line with the Spurs. And he goes, what? And so I run down to the court, and I give the fake parent smile by I'm gritting my teeth, and it's like, TJ, get over here. But I have a smile on my face.
Now.
Uh-huh. And he comes over, and I go, son, what are you doing on the court? I said, you need to sit here. He goes, Mr. Ginobili told me I could shoot layups. I'm like, who? He goes, Mr. Ginobili. It was kind of funny, and I thought I was going to get fired.
Hey, Nancy Lieberman, Hall of Famer, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We wanted to open up and certainly reminisce and talk about her son and just the very successful career he obviously is having at the University of Richmond. But right now, let's move ahead. Let's have you weigh in on the MVP race. It is so competitive and close. In fact, I think it's too close to call. But who is your front runner at this point, and Nancy, why?
Well, for me, it's Russell Westbrook, and let me tell you why. I know people are going to go, well, you know, they're fighting for a playoff spot. You don't have Kevin Durant the whole year. He's played 27 games. You don't have Serge Ibaka. The Oklahoma City Thunder have had more injuries than any team in the NBA this year. It's almost at an astronomical rate of bad luck. You know, now Nick Collison's hurt. You know, Cantor got hurt. Andre Robertson got hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen as many injuries in an NBA season with multitude of players as I have with the Thunder. We're not talking about him saying, well, you know, he's having this great year or he's shooting the ball well. The things that Russell is doing, let's put it in historical, you know, context. We are comparing him to MJ, to Magic, and to Oscar Robertson. He is putting up historical numbers that has made Oscar Robertson, his amazing records, relevant again in the course of the NBA season. And look, I love Steph Curry's game, and I think James Harden has just been ridiculously amazing. And he's had to play without Dwight Howard. But Russell, nobody has his skill set. I mean, he's got 10 triple-doubles this year. The rest of the league has 8. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing and how he's single-handedly lifted this team.
Well, some ask the question that if the Thunder, perhaps they miss the playoffs, does he deserve the trophy? I mean, is it just about individual performance, or do you weigh in the team overall and where they are in the standings?
Well, I think that would definitely affect him winning the MVP. I do believe you have to get into the playoffs. I think that is essential for Russell to be able to win this award. But nobody in the history of the NBA, I'm not saying in the Western Conference in the last 10 years, I'm talking about in the history of the NBA, has the skill set that Russell Westbrook, he's the best rebounding guard in the league.
Yes.
Break down film every day on him. You should see defenders on their heels with their hands up. I mean, just wanting to get the heck out of the way so they don't have to get posterized. He can go to his left hand. He can go to his right hand. He can pass and drop dimes. He's got the mid-range jump shot, which is almost a little antiquated. You know, nobody really has that mid-range. He's improved his three-point shooting. The one thing that he has to and will get better at is he's got to cut down on his turnovers. He has to, and he will.
Much more MVP talk tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, with Hall of Famer and the pre- and post-game analyst for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Nancy Lieberman. Stay close. You're listening to the voice of Nancy Lieberman. She's joining us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. We are so glad you're along with us. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to StreamYSR.com. That's StreamYSR.com. We are talking about the MVP race. Of course, we've been hitting on Russell Westbrook. But Nancy, for us and all the listeners, I mean, rank the MVP race. Is this the most compelling race ever?
It really is, because, you know, I'm sitting here giving you the merits of Russell Westbrook. Steph Curry might be the greatest shooter in the history of the game. I'm talking about Reggie Miller. I'm talking about Rip Hamilton. I'm talking about Jerry West. I'm talking about Rick Barry. I'm talking about some, you know, Larry Bird. He's unbelievable, because the way he gets his shot is different than how James Harden gets his shot. James Harden gets to the foul line, I think, over 10 times a game, and Russell Westbrook is second in the NBA getting to the foul line. But it's a slower, more deliberate, but he's unstoppable. And the fact that his defense has gotten better, James Harden, mm-hmm. I believe, from playing USA basketball and playing for Mike Krzyzewski. Same thing with Steph Curry. His defense has gotten 100% better than it was a year ago. So these three guys, and I know everybody's like, why isn't she talking about LeBron? LeBron is LeBron. He's always going to be, no matter if he wins MVP or not, LeBron James is always going to be, you know, the man in basketball universe, because he's LeBron James. He has the rings. He has the body of work. Can he lift himself into that MVP serious consideration? Yes. Will he win it? I don't know. But Curry, Harden, and Westbrook, those guys have been consistent throughout the course of the season.
Well, I'm glad you weighed in on LeBron. I was going to ask you that here in just a moment, but I want to step back. I mean, who would you prefer? I mean, you've been head coach. Who would you prefer running your team, Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook?
I would take Russell Westbrook, because he just has, like I said, this physicality. He can play multiple positions. He puts fear into you. You know, Russell puts fear into you.
Right, yes.
And Steph Curry, you just don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to fall down while you're guarding him. So it's a different... With Steph, it's more you don't want to be embarrassed. With Russell, it's fear. He's just, you know, coming at you like a tank. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Nancy Lieberman joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, and talking about Russell Westbrook. I mean, obviously, you spent a lot of time around him. Have you ever asked him or had a discussion in terms of where that inner fire, that passion comes from? Because he really does play angry. I mean, he plays with so much passion.
He does. He plays with rage. I personally have not asked him that question. I know, you know, Leslie McCaslin, our sideline reporter, mm-hmm. extraordinaire, has a great relationship with Russ, and he's a very deep, well-thought-out, high-IQ guy, and, you know, he just, I mean, let's face it, he played at UCLA. There's a lot of tradition there. There's a lot of expectation there from the history of that program. And Russell, I remember people who said, Russ is not going to be a great pro. He's just not going to be a great pro. He's not a great shooter. He's not a great this. Some guys just have in their DNA that competitiveness. Don't tell Russell Westbrook what he can't be, because all you're going to do is set yourself up for failure. He thrives on that. If you make it personal, trust me, he will make it personal. And this guy he's a great role model. He doesn't get in trouble. He's wonderful in the community. I mean, say what you want, because he keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Well, you know, I think one of the big discussion points, too, in the NBA has just been the injury crisis that's gone on. And it's been just remarkable to watch how Russell Westbrook, I mean, he's had his time of being sidelined. But since the month of February, I mean, he's averaging 31 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds. And I think Jeff Van Gundy the other night said it best in the telecast against the Spurs. He just talked about Russell's, how much he loves to play, he loves to compete, and just that remarkable durability. I mean, he doesn't want to be sitting on the pine.
You know, until he had his knee injury in the playoffs against Houston, Russell Westbrook never missed a game in junior high school, college, or his first, I think, 4 years with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Had never missed a game. Mm. That's remarkable. At the pace that he plays, I mean, he plays it vertically. He plays it horizontally. I mean, it's unbelievable how hard he plays virtually every possession of a game.
Well, he's got that north-south efficiency, no doubt about that. Hey, give us an update on Kevin Durant. I mean, how do you see and view Oklahoma City right now without him?
Well, they're a different basketball team. I mean, certainly they're moving the ball more, and they're not relying on two guys to get you 50, 60 points a game between him and Westbrook. More guys know that they're going to be counted on. I mean, Deion Waiters is shooting the ball, getting shots. Look at Enes Kanter. First of all, Sam Presti, this guy needs to get executive of the year. Mm. He got the steal of the trade deadline when he traded for Enes Kanter and really didn't give up much to get him. This guy has been averaging, you know, like the last four or five games, about 20 points, 13, 14 rebounds, and has shown us stuff that we didn't even know that he had in his game when he was at Utah. So you bring in DJ Augustine, very, very important for this basketball team. Kyle Singler has been another great piece to add on the perimeter for three-point shooting. And, you know, he can guard that perimeter with him and Andre Robertson. But it's a different basketball team. And you can see they're moving the basketball and they're running plays, they're executing plays. But that's just Scott Brooks coaching to what's in front of him. And that's really important to be adaptable as a coach.
Well, yeah, I agree with you so much, Nancy and Kanter. I mean, he's just been a steal, and you have to wonder if Oklahoma City, if they're going to open up the bank to keep him right there in OKC. Just a tremendous addition. Always a pleasure to catch up with Nancy Lieberman, Hall of Famer and the pre- and post-game analyst with the Thunder. Thank you so much, Nancy.
Always a pleasure. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. And, of course, coming up next right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, Lee Klein will be joining us from Slam Magazine. We're going to be breaking down the NC2A tournament. You stay close. Elissa Walker-Campbell back with you inside the Quicken Loans studios right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. And Sweet 16 action is underway right now, tonight. And we're getting ready to preview and break down some of the games. Our college basketball analyst, our contributor from Slam Magazine, of course, each and every week that's been joining us is Lee Klein. He is joining us right now on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Got to ask you first and foremost, Lee, is this your favorite time of the year?
Without question, this is the best time of the year when basketball is in the center stage and we get to see these kids living their dream, and just it's exhilarating.
Absolutely. Okay, so the 2015 NC2A tournament, the second weekend of action is underway. Tonight we're going to highlight a couple of the teams left standing from the opening weekend. Up first and foremost, let's talk about Gonzaga and UCLA right here in Houston in the South region. How do you see this one playing out?
I think the Bulldogs at Gonzaga are a great, great fit here with their depth, size, and just so many shooters that the Bruins are not going to be able to keep up with them throughout this whole game. I think that UCLA was able to unleash Tony Parker against the smaller UAB Blazers, and Parker was just incredible that game. Mm-hmm. But now you got Karnowski, Sabonis, and even Kyle Wiltshire to deal with on the interior. And then the second thing is that UCLA doesn't do a terrific job guarding shooters. And with Gonzaga, that's what they've got. They're tops in the country in effective field goal percentage, and they have so many shooters they can put out on the perimeter. And if you want to go too far spread out, they will pound it inside to Karnowski and Sabonis. So many ways for Gonzaga to win this one, and they're just too much, too tough for UCLA.
Okay, so Gonzaga, as you're talking about, they've got depth, they've got size, they've got the shooters. But the Bruins, they were, a bit of a surprise pick in the NC2A tournament. They certainly have justified this selection, right?
Well, they've been fortuitous. This is how it is today, that 4 months of mediocrity could be flushed away if you have a good weekend in the NCAA tournament.
So true.
So UCLA, they've had a good week, and so their season's been saved.
Do you view them as a bit of a Cinderella?
No, not when you're talking about the one with the most banners, most Final Fours, and most championships. They can never wear that slipper, but... you know, I give them credit for the adjustment they made. They had three guys leave for the NBA, and now at least they're right in that position of being, playing the second weekend and trying to continue to advance. They are the beast of the West Coast. I mean, they are the program that everyone's trying to emulate.
You are listening to the voice of Lee Klein, the contributor with Slam Magazine, of course, owns and operates the prestigious five-star basketball camp. He's joining us right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. And, of course, Steve Alford, in his second season with the Bruins, an assessment of the job that he has done.
I think this has been one of his better coaching jobs for two reasons. One, getting guys ready to step up with the departures. I think he's done a great job with Norman Powell. I think Kevon Looney, the freshman, has really been able to showcase his talent. He was able to keep Tony Parker engaged even with his, let's say, underwhelming year last year. He's been able to get a lot out of him. But most impressively is, you know, when you're coaching your sons, that's a unique dynamic, and I don't think there's a player in the country that's improved more than Bryce Alford, his son. And so I think that he deserves a lot of credit for being able to nurture that along and get Alford now, who was once really just an outside shooter, to really be a facilitator and a leader on the court.
Well, Steve Alford, he is in the Sweet 16 for just the third time in his coaching career. But I want to back up for a moment. Let's talk some more about Gonzaga. This is their 18th straight NC2A tournament. How dangerous is this team? I mean, do you see them advancing to the Final Four?
I do see this as a Final Four team. They've got all the ingredients. They've got good defenders, Gary Bell, Kyle Drangonis. They've got the post defense with Karnowski, a space eater. They've got energy guys, but shooting the basketball. I mean, to me, there's very few teams in the country that could score the basketball from the as well as they can from the places they can on the court. The only thing, the biggest question always with Gonzaga is, are they tough enough? And I do think this year, in the senior, the senior year for Pangos to, if you will, ride out in the sunset after what's been four incredible years, I think this is their time to shine, and they make it to the Final Four.
Okay, March Madness right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, we are interactive. We love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always go back and listen to the entirety of this interview with our Lee Klein at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Now, the game that is coming up, 9:45 Eastern Time, the number one seed, Duke Blue Devils and Utah. This could truly be one of the best games of the weekend, correct?
It definitely has that possibility. Now, Duke really shocked me with their last game, with how great they were defensively, picking up San Diego State right over half court and taking them out of their offense, really blew up their offense. I don't think they'll have that success against this Utah team who has much better perimeter players, including which should be an All-American. I think it's an All-American in DeLon Wright, who their dynamic point guard, who is as good a defensive guard as there is in the country. Excellent slash into the basket. Not a great outside shooter, but for that they've got Jordan Loveridge, Brandon Taylor, these guys, as well as a little bit of Dakari Tucker. These are the guys that they rely on from the perimeter. And then in the post, the Poeltl man, Jakob Poeltl, and then they've got Baczynski off the bench. So offensively, I think Utah will just be fine. It's defensively, how are they going to stop a Jahlil Okafor who seemed possessed and on a mission and was complemented really with Justice Winslow, who's now become an assertive offensive player and playing with great confidence. So Duke, how can Utah stop Duke? Well, they really got to scheme in the post to be able to get the ball out of Okafor's hands, because he's about 40 pounds heavier than Poeltl inside. So it starts with that, and they need to have Duke off from the three-point line. I think Duke survives this game, but this will be a tough game, and I think Larry Krystkowiak has something planned in regards to the post defense to get the ball out of Jahlil Okafor's hands.
Yes, and I do have Duke surviving this game, but share a little bit about Utah, because not very big expectations, I would say, going into the tournament. I mean, they survived the first round, and really you were talking about the play of DeLon Wright. I mean, he has been really huge and a big part of their formula for success.
Yeah, interestingly enough, Utah is in the top 20 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. There's not many teams that can say that. Here's a team that's shoots over 40% from the three, and really, to me, the key guy is not necessarily the most talented guy, but Brandon Taylor, at all of listed as 5'10", probably more like 5'8", is sort of like this little engine that could for Utah. He has that motor and the energy, and he gets the whole team really jacked up, if you will. And when he is on and he hits a couple of shots, it really provides an extra dynamic to this team. And I really believe he's the key guy when you talk about Utah and how they go. Loveridge, really good off the wing and in the corner. But to me, Brandon Taylor is kind of the X factor. You're going to see DeLon Wright taking the ball a lot to the basket. You're going to see Poeltl good from 12 feet and in. To me, if Brandon Taylor can provide a couple of outside shots and some threes, that'll be that dimension they need to continue on. And this game promises to be a war.
Well, another game we're going to have my eye on, of course, is my Oklahoma Sooners as they face Michigan State. We are short on time. So many matchups that I wanted to get into. And, of course, Lee Klein has been joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Thank you so much, Lee.
My pleasure.
You bet. Stick around. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Getting ready to tee it up, talk some golf with Tim Scott. Good evening and welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Remember, normal data rates apply. And the 2015, the Masters at Augusta National Golf Club, it is rapidly approaching. So tonight, in celebration of the big sporting event that's just around the corner, we have invited on author Tim Scott to share about his new book that has just been released. It is titled Ben Hogan, The Myths Everyone Knows, The Man No One Knew. Welcome in, Tim. It is such a pleasure to have you with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, thank you, Alyssa. It's nice to be with you.
Okay, so Tim, golf aficionados regard Ben Hogan as the game's greatest striker of the ball. And what I love about your book is that it offers more than a glimpse into the legendary golfer's career. It really immerses the readers into Hogan's private and his deeply personal world. And very few people knew him and the man behind the myth. Kind of share a little bit as far as the layout of the book and what you wanted to share with the readers.
Well, the book is not a typical biography. There's a short 47-page biographical section at the beginning, and then that's followed by 272 pages of anecdotes or personal experiences with Ben Hogan, true life interactions, things that people who knew him, some very well, some not so well, related back to me, so that you get a much better picture of what kind of person he was rather than the myths and the perceptions that have been floated throughout the years after he finished playing on the tour.
What were some of those myths and those perceptions that were not true?
Well, One was he was very selfish and never helped anybody do anything or for anything, and that he was rude, and uncaring, unfeeling, and very self-centered. And some, since he was very quiet and an introvert, called him a mechanical man, that he just had to go out there and run like a machine to play the game. And none of those, in fact, were true. As you know, everybody can have a little bit of that in them, but that by no means defined Ben Hogan the man.
Tim Scott, author of the new book that's just been released, Ben Hogan, The Myths Everyone Knows, The Man No One Knew. Tim, of course, is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. And, of course, Ben Hogan, widely considered to be one of the best ever to play the game, won 9 major championships over the course of his career. He achieved the elusive Grand Slam, winning the Masters, the British Open, the U.S. Open, and the PGA Championship. I got to ask you this because, of course, Tim, your relationship with Ben Hogan, what was the secret, or what was the key to him having sustained success?
Well, there have been a lot of speculation about Hogan's secret, and I've got a chapter about that in the book. But to me, Hogan's secret, other than all the hard work that he put into it, he never ruled anything out of affecting his game. So whether it was the food that he ate, the beverages he drank, the equipment that he used, everything like that, he took that into account. And he talked often with athletes in other sports, baseball, tennis, or whatever, getting their perceptions of the things that they did in their sport and how they related to the equipment or the game itself, to help him see if he could translate that into something to improve his golf game.
Well, Tim, one of the things that my takeaways from your book, I think one of the secrets to his success was his wife, Valerie. I thought she was just tremendous, and all the support she provided. And it wasn't always the high times. I mean, they went through some real difficult times and really questioned, you know, is this what we're going to continue to do? Because just the financial strain that was on them.
Yeah, that was, it was in the early years, it was very, very difficult. And in fact, before they were married, he went bankrupt 2 or 3 times, and even had to sell his golf clubs to get back to Fort Worth once or twice. But they finally made a pact that they had X number of dollars, I think it was $1,400, and they were going to start on the West Coast, and if that money ran out, then he was going to give it up for good. And they got down to the last tournament that he was going to play in, which was the Oakland Open, and he won enough money to keep on going, and that just, he, to him, that was, you know, the check was like $270 or so, and to him, that was the biggest check he ever won in his life.
Who also stepped in and provided some financial support?
Well, Henry Picard did back in the, I guess, the late, like, 1939, offered to provide it. He said, you know, you've got a good future out here, you just need to do a few things, but I, if you ever need money, come see me and I'll be glad to take care of it. And then later on, when he started the Ben Hogan Company, as I described in the book, he didn't like the first batch of clubs that he made, and his partner wanted to sell them as rejects, and he rejected that idea, and couldn't convince his partner otherwise, so he went down to the factory and cut the heads off of the woods, so they couldn't be sold as rejects. And then Marvin Leonard, who built Colonial Country Club here in Fort Worth, and then later on Shady Oaks, put up the money for him to buy his partner out and get started in his business.
You're listening
to... Those were the 2 main benefactors that he had.
Yes, you are listening to the voice of Tim Scott, the author of his new book that's been released, Ben Hogan, The Myths Everyone Knows, The Man No One Knew. And I know you and I had a chance to talk earlier in the week, and I was asking you, what's something that, you know, going through this process, putting this book together, that you didn't know about Ben Hogan? And I understand that he really was a deeply spiritual man and a man of convictions.
Yeah, I knew he went to church, but I didn't know how deep his faith and convictions were until, you know, after he'd been through all of the things of his life, his father's suicide, which was a deep, dark family secret for a long, long, long time, his near fatal accident in 1949, that he thought he would never walk again if he was lucky enough to live, and his physical shortcomings. He was small in stature. He didn't have a natural golf swing. He spent countless of hours practicing. In fact, he defined practice as it is today. And then the many sacrifices, as you mentioned, that he and Valerie made during their efforts to make it on the tour. And after he'd won all these tournaments and been through that accident, and he finally won the British Open, which was kind of the culmination of his career because, like you say, he'd won the other three tournaments. He won the British Open, and they asked him about that, and he said he didn't think he could win those tournaments unless the Lord was with him. And he said, I've been fortunate enough to have that guidance from him, and I think the Lord let me win these tournaments for a purpose. And his hope was that purpose was to give courage to those who are sick or injured or broken in body as he once was. And he sent letters that he wrote personally. He didn't have anybody write them for him. He wrote letters to people who had some kind of serious disease like cancer or in some kind of accident and had a serious injury. And that to me spoke volumes about the man, that he didn't talk about how much he sacrificed or how long he practiced or anything like that. He just gave the credit to the Lord right then and there on the spot.
Well, and I love, too, the dedication of this book. You put in there that it is to all the young boys and girls who have lost their father. While it's much more difficult path without a father, Ben Hogan is an example that you, too, can become very successful at life. And I also want to add, too, let's talk about some of the closest friends of Ben Hogan. I mean, you look at Byron Nelson. I mean, he said that people that knew Ben closely, that they liked him very much. He was not a difficult person.
Right. Those that got beyond the facade or whatever you wanted to call it and sat down and had a personal relationship with him further than hello, goodbye, and so on, they all had that kind of respect for the man and liked him as a person.
Well, Tim, congratulations on the book. You provide some great insight on Ben Hogan, perhaps, as so many say, the greatest golfer ever. Of course, the title of the book is Ben Hogan, The Myths Everyone Knows, The Man No One Knew. Go out and get a copy of that. And, Tim, thanks so much for joining us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Alyssa. I appreciate being on the show, and you have a good day.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.